Okay, for a message, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 in verse 6. You might think we have a Christmas in February, but it is actually not a Christmas message as such, but I'm not sure when I read this verse recently, but there's a phrase that leaped out at me. This verse, Matthew 2, verse 6, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." I titled this message this morning, "Who is your governor?" When you think about that, who is your governor? When you think of a governor, a lot of times you think of a governor of a country or in some cases, maybe a governor of a bank or a company or, you know, a region, of certain region. I think Pilate was a governor, if I'm not mistaken, in the land there. But here it is saying that out of thee, or out of the land of Judah, in Bethlehem, the city of Bethlehem, town of Bethlehem, shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Who is the governor of Tennessee? Haslam. Is that Bill? Bill Haslam. Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I don't even really know the man as such, and I'm not sure what he is doing in Nashville or wherever he is. I'm assuming he's in Nashville. That's where he would work out of. Is he ruling the state of Tennessee? You know, more than likely his thinking, his opinions are coming into play in some decisions that are made for the state of Tennessee in our day. But here we have a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Can we be a part of that people, Israel? Absolutely. You know, in the days before Jesus came, the Jews were God's chosen people. But now the Bible says that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. So we can be a spiritual Jew, if you will. And we can be under the rule of this governor. Now, I work with governors quite a bit in my line of work, and I guess that's one reason why this phrase kind of leaped out at me, or the term of a governor. In our small engine world, the things that we deal with on almost a daily basis, we deal with governors that are designed to run an engine at a set RPM, you know, 3,600 rounds per minute of the crankshaft, you know, to do the work that needs to be done by that engine. And the way that works is it's very simple, really, once you understand the principle. All you have is a governor spring that is hooked to the governor lever, which is hooked to the carburetor, the throttle shaft, the butterfly of the carburetor, and it holds that throttle plate in a wide open position. That's what the spring does. But when you start the engine, and when the engine speed comes up to its RPM, the weights on that governor move that, pull against that spring, and it brings the carburetor butterfly into an almost closed position so that the engine is running steadily at its 3,600 RPM. And then when you apply a load to that engine and the crankshaft slows down, the governor slows down, then it opens it up wider to give it more air and more fuel so it can handle the load. And, of course, if you continue applying too much load, the butterfly will be completely wide open, and you can essentially stall the engine if you put too much load on it, even though it's completely wide open because the load is too great for the engine. And if you... in the work that we do, we have the job of setting the governor. And if you set it too tight, then the butterfly would just stay at an idle position and the engine would only idle. and it will not do the work that it was intended to do because it doesn't have the RPM. And I like to liken that, you know, an engine like that that is set with a governor set like that is pretty useless to us. And if we liken that to a person that is set in his way of religion, you know, a person that is strict, you know, it is this way or else, it is my way or else, and it is not connected to the governor as such to where it can have a free range of movement within the word of God, the rule of the governor of Jesus Christ, the government of Jesus Christ, pretty much useless in kingdom work and kingdom building from the eyes of God. You know, and we as humans, now we might, as church-going people, we might look at a person like that, a religious person, and we might respect a person like that because, you know, on the outward, we see the things being done that we view as religious and we view as right, whereas maybe the heart is not connected to the governor, to Jesus Christ, and therefore it is just a form. As Brother Irvin preached here last Sunday, whenever it was, about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know, living a life that outwardly shines of godliness, but inwardly there is no power, there is no victory over sin and over hell and death. On the other hand, we have sometimes governors that are set too loose and the engine just runs wild. And if you let it go like that, it, you know, eventually would self-destruct, you know, would break a rod and would, you know, fly to pieces. And we could liken that to a person that is living in sin, a person that is taking his own way, living to please himself with no thought, you know, given to the consequences and the effects of eternity and so forth. No thought of others. Proverbs 5:22 says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." So that person, even though he is wild and taking his own way, is still, according to that verse, is still being governed by something. So I would like to say here that you are going to have a governor in your life, whether you like it or not. And you're going to have a governor in your life, and you may not realize that you have a governor, but you are going to have a governor in your life in some way, shape, or form. There is something or someone who is governing your life. So now the question for each of us this morning to examine ourselves with is, who is my governor? Who is your governor? Who is ordering your life? Who is directing the decisions that you make in your life? You know, do you want a governor in your life? That is another valid question. Do you want a governor? And if you do want a governor, who do you want to be your governor? Is it Bill Haslam? Is it Jesus Christ? Or do you want to be your own governor? I really don't think you can, because there are too many other things that are coming into play here in the spirit world that we don't understand, that we don't see, to where if you try to be your own governor, you'll come under the government of something else or someone else. The Bible says in Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" So I think that verse is ruling out the fact of being your own governor. You might think you are your own governor, but I would like to say that you are either submitted to Christ and he is your governor, or you are maybe trying to be your own governor, but you are coming underneath the government of the devil. It's one or the other. I don't think you can be in a middle road, if you will, where you're not under the government of one or the other. Brother Lauren shared out of Luke chapter 15 this morning, the prodigal son and the elder brother. When the prodigal son stood up and said, you know, give me my inheritance, who was his governor? I think it was more than just himself. You know, rebelling, and that would be a form of rebelling against the will of God and rebelling against God's will and place for me in my life. So I would have to say that his governor at that time was the devil. Because we see where it led him, out into riotous living, you know, sin. Well, God did not take him there, we know that. So I believe it was the devil. Now, when he came to himself, I love that part of the story where it says that he came to himself and he said, and he, you know, he thought back to his father's place. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll get up. I'll go back to my dad and I'll say, Dad, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. Just make me as one of your hired servants. Who was his governor at that point? I'd like to say it was Jesus Christ. That is what the Spirit of God does to a person that comes to himself. He brings him back. You know, and I believe it was the Spirit of God that was speaking to him out there when he was out there feeding those pigs. And that it was the Spirit of God that brought him to himself, to the realization of his lost condition, of where he was and where he could be. And then we have the elder brother, who was his governor, in refusing to accept the prodigal son back and refusing to extend open arms of love, compassion, and forgiveness. I believe the elder brother was under the government of the devil and unforgiveness. Second Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So there again, as I said earlier, you know, you are either under the government of Jesus Christ or the devil. And this is saying that we're going to be turned away, or these people, it is saying here, and I pray to God that it, you know, that it's not me or you that will be turned away from sound doctrine. We won't endure that. But we have the truth or we have fables. So with the same token, either on the side of Jesus Christ, truth is our governor, or on the side of the devil, the fables or the falsehood, the lies is our governor. And maybe that makes it look a little more realistic or brings a little more down to earth. Do you want truth as your governor, or do you want lies, falsehood as your governor? Your life ordered by falsehood, by deception. You know, it says it will not endure sound doctrine. You know, I believe as religious people, we can get to the point where we have our governor set too tight, as I mentioned earlier, where we will read the Word of God with a predetermined mindset that this is what the Word of God is saying and this is what the Word of God is always going to say, and we read it with that predetermined mindset that this is the way it is, and we always arrive at the same conclusion because we're always looking for that mindset and that word from the Word of God. So therefore, that's what we're always going to get when we read the Word of God. Now, I trust that our minds are open to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, for truth when we read the Word of God. You know, and I think it's important that when we read the Word of God that we pray and that we ask God to open our minds and that we ask God to show to us and to His truth and to speak to us His truth if we want truth as our governor. Now, if we don't care about having lies and falsehood as our governor, then I guess it's okay if we want to read the Word with a predetermined mindset that this is the way it is and nothing else. And along with that, there are two other words to describe our governor, and that on the side of Jesus Christ, we have the governor of love, versus on the side of Satan, on the devil, we have the side of the word of fear as our governor. You know, there was some discussion in Sunday school about, you know, a group of people having a discussion and things going in directions that were wrong, and then, you know, one person standing up for truth and standing up for what is right. Well, you know, in a case like that, especially with the peer pressure, it is so easy to let fear control us. And, you know, we don't stand up and we don't speak out for truth, for what is right. And I'm talking about doing it in a nice way, speaking the truth in love. And there are many other areas of our life that love and fear come into play. You know, when we know what the right thing is to do, and the Spirit of God tells us to do the right thing, but fear cripples us and keeps us from doing it, then we are being governed and controlled by fear instead of love. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And as I pondered and studied this message, I confess I was convicted of areas in my life that I have been governed by things I don't want to be governed by. Other areas of our life that are determined by our governor are, you know, the clothes that we wear, the things that we eat. That's all controlled by the governor that we are under. Here some time ago, I have been noticing the new style that is out there. And, you know, the style of wearing mini skirts and then wearing like sweatpants and then having these tall boots that come up to knee height or so. And here, some time ago, I observed a lady from another constituency that it made me wonder who her governor was when she bought the boots that she was wearing. You know, she was wearing a cape dress and a covering, but the boots were of a similar style as that style that you see so prevalent out there today. And it just, you know, it just raised a question in my mind as to who was governing that decision. You know, not to judge by outward appearance, but I think it is a valid question. A question that we need to ask ourselves when we make decisions about the clothes that we wear or, you know, things like that, the places that we go, the movies that we watch, where we go on the internet, the way we use our computers, the way we use our time. You know, who is my governor in those things, in those decisions that I make? The way I relate to my children, to my wife. Last week, my wife and I ate at Sirloin Stockade in Murray. And it was a lot of variety on that buffet to choose from. One of the reasons we ate there was because my wife is on a special diet right now, so that gave her the option of picking and choosing and being a little more able to get the food that she needs for her diet. Well, as we were eating there, she ate a lot less than I did, which she normally eats, less than I do anyway, but she ate quite a bit less and also a lot less variety than what I ate. She was being governed by her diet, her need to adhere to her diet, versus I was being governed by my appetite. I was pretty hungry, and I was being governed by my appetite and by what tastes good. Not necessarily what is good for me, but what tasted good to me. As I was observing people that were eating there off that bar, people of all shapes and sizes, I observed some that were definitely being governed by the appetite, the desire for food. The same way can be applied to us spiritually in our Christian life. I think the Christian life can be a little bit like the diet that my wife is on, where we have a large variety to pick and choose from, but as Christians, because we are under the government, under our governor, Jesus Christ, we are under the governor of truth, and we are making decisions in the light of eternity, we pick and choose, and we don't take the things that just feel good to us, but we take the things that are good for us. The things that will strengthen my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that will build me up, and it will be an encouragement to those around me. It will bless the people I come in contact with instead of being a temptation to those I come in contact with and, dragging them down with me. To take what's good for you rather than what feels good. We could liken that governor spring on that engine that, it holds that butterfly of the carburetor at a wide open. We could liken that to the pull of the carnal nature. And as long as we are here in this life, we're going to have that pull, the pull of the carnal nature that wants to run wild, that wants to do its own thing without a thought, a care of where it's going to lead to. But as our Sunday school lesson said today, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that, seems right to us to do what the carnal man wants to do, so far as from the carnal man's viewpoint. Doing that, those carnal things, those seem right to us from a carnal mindset. But we do know that it leads to the ways of death. It leads to hell. It leads to destruction. And if you let that engine run there at wide open throttle, with a butterfly wide open and no load, it's going to blow up sooner or later. It's not a matter of if, but of when. In our lives as Christians, we need the balance of the governor. That's what the governor does. It pulls against the spring, and it brings it back into an even keel. It is not just idling. It is not running wild, but it is running in the middle. And that is where we need to be partakers of the divine nature. We need the new birth and to be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we will go after that carnal nature. And that will be our governor, the devil. You know, on that engine, there's a governor shaft that goes through the engine from the inside to the outside. And inside, there's a little lever that is against the governor. The little part that moves when the engine speeds up, the weights make that part move out, and it pushes against the governor lever on the inside. And on the outside, the shaft is usually just a round shaft, and the governor lever is clamped onto that shaft. Well, what happens sometimes is if that clamp gets a little loose, when the pressure is applied, the spring is pulling here and the governor gear is pushing on the inside, there's pressure applied and that lever will slip on the shaft. And then the engine goes wild. It overspeeds. And then we have to go back and we have to make a governor adjustment and tighten the clamp back down so the governor is set correctly so it can do its job and, you know, keep the engine from overspeeding and self-destructing. In the same way, in our spiritual lives, sometimes we need a spiritual governor adjustment. Sometimes we need to go back to the Word of God and to get a proper view of who God is and of what God's Word says and how that God's Word needs to apply in our lives. Now, you know, an engine, it doesn't have any feelings. It doesn't care if it has a governor or not. It'll just do its thing. If you crank it, you know, turn the fuel on and crank it, it's going to run until it blows up. It doesn't care if it goes into pieces. But that's not true for us. You know, we have feelings. We do care, even if we sometimes like to pretend we don't. You know, and to us, it does matter. The engine doesn't have a choice in the matter whether it has a governor or not, but we do have a choice in the matter. God gave us that choice. And God wants us to choose our governor. You know, for an engine that blows up, self-destructs, it's no big deal. Yeah, it'll cost some money, but the engine can be replaced. You can buy a new engine, you can put it on there, and you can go on about your business. Well, you cannot be replaced. Your soul will either live or die eternally. You know, the Bible says, as a tree falls, so it will lay. So who is your governor? You know, the vehicle sitting out in our parking lot today, they don't have a governor as such. Those engines, if you put your foot on the pedal and you hold it to the floor sitting out there with the transmission in park or neutral, that throttle plate goes wide open and that engine will run until, with the fuel injection model, with the computer, until the rev limiter kicks in. And it'll start, you know, kicking in and out and surging, which is not good for your engine. I guess the only means of a governor it has is either the cruise control or you. You know, when you're driving that vehicle, you, in essence, become the governor. And some of us don't do too good at, you know, maintaining a steady speed. So, who is your governor? Have you come to a conclusion on that? Who is your governor? Do you know who your governor is? Who do you want to be your governor? The Bible here says that out of Judah, out of Bethlehem, is going to come a governor that will rule, that shall rule my people Israel. And that is God's desire today, is that we allow Jesus Christ to rule our lives, to be our governor, to direct and order our lives, that we love the direction of the Holy Spirit. That is God's will for us as His creation. Now, we may not like that word rule, that shall rule my people Israel. Sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But I would like to say that I believe the Bible teaches us such that Jesus Christ is not one that is going to rule in this case with a rod of iron. He is one that is compassionate. He is merciful. He is kind and loving. And he stands at the door and he knocks. And he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Whosoever will may come. Come under my umbrella. Come under my rule. And I will show you what real life is like. I will show you what real living is like." You know, it is unlike anything that Satan, the other governor, has to offer. But he's not going to force you to come under his rule, under his umbrella protection. But he opens the door to you. Whosoever will may come. If you want to, you may enter in. And you may walk with me. You may abide in me. You may experience the fruit that I and the Father have to offer through the Holy Spirit. That is his will. We could read in Psalms 22, but I think I'll leave that. It says that he is the governor among the nations. I really believe that is the heart of God, is that Jesus Christ is the governor among the nations. We do know that God is in control. But how many of us are trying to take that control out of God's hands and are giving the control of our lives to the devil, the enemy? You know, let's search ourselves and see, you know, where am I? Who is my governor this morning? Who is controlling and ordering my life? Let's kneel for prayer.